Hi everyone, Dr. Valerie here, and we're here for our live presentation for the Progress Your Hormones community.
So today we're going to talk
Okay, this is
about
Dr. Mackey, of course. Hi, everybody knows.
I'm Dr. Mackey. Today we're going to talk about how to read a DEXA scan. Now this one is, I think, we were sort of chatting before we started recording. You see, every woman is going to get a DEXA scan at some point, right? You see a bunch of numbers on there, some letters, some minuses, some, no one really knows how to make sense of those numbers. So I think it'd be a good idea to go through a couple of case studies, knowing a little bit about their lifestyle and dietary habits and different things, HRT, not HRT, and see what the numbers show.
Yeah, that I think doing a case study, actually a couple of case studies. We have two people that we have their DEXA scans for, and we have a couple of different ones for them so we can see the changes over the years. But I think it's a great way to learn it that way rather than me giving you a whole bunch of numbers and letters and percentages.
It's better to see the numbers and understand, because everyone probably, at least in the community or at some point, is going to have their own DEXA scan. And now you can actually look at it and sort of make some sense of it to see over time how things are changing, right? To see if the numbers are actually getting better or worse. Conventionally, they don't really believe too much that bone density can actually get better. Okay. I mean, isn't that a common sentiment?
It's hard to build bone once you've lost it. So that is true, but you can. And we'll kind of show you a little bit, with these case studies and talk about that a little bit as well.
Yeah, usually the goal with bone density is just to stop the progression of the decrease in bone density. But you and I have seen quite a few cases over the years with our own patients where bone density has actually improved.
Absolutely. And
So it can be done.
yeah, and honestly, for women, we're going to start to lose bone. That's going to happen. The whole goal is, let's say somebody has a, osteopenia or they have lost bone density, is you don't want it to get worse. So that's why, sure, if somebody has osteopenia at 55, what happens at 75? If they're going to be progressively losing bone by 75, they're going to be well into osteoporosis, if not beyond,
Right.
and be at risk for a fracture. So really with bone density, we're looking at preventive. But like you said, even with some of my real petite patients that are in osteopenia, my goal is let's not lose any more bone. If we can gain some bonus, it's a win, but let's not lose any more. And that is our goal moving forward.
It may not be appropriate or may not be possible, like I just said, in some cases to actually build back bone, but as long as you can stop it from, deteriorating faster, sometimes that's still a success. So I'm going to change the screen here. So bear with me a second as I share my screen. I'm still sort of fumbling around a little bit here. So now a document's going to pop up and you should be able to see this. So this is the first patient. So this you can see there from the date of the scan was done in July of 2021. At the time, the patient was 55 years old, vegetarian. That I think that is a little bit of a key insight just in general. So monitoring or paying attention to daily or at least weekly, monthly protein intake. And this one, patient of yours, is actually not on HRT.
No, sorry, this patient is 55 years old and she is on HRT.
Oh,
Yeah, so we call
oh yeah,
her,
I'm sorry.
yeah,
It
we
says
call her
I
Linda.
didn't read it right. It says on HRT.
So she's 55 years old. She is pretty petite, so right around 120 pounds. She's mainly vegetarian and has been that way. I don't think she's eaten meat since she was a teenager, if but I do, I think she has some fish sometimes, mainly plant-based, and she has been on HRT since I think when I pretty much first met her, I would say probably since about 46 to 47 years old. So she had been on HRT at this point, probably for a good 8 years. So, and on a static dose, so not on rhythmic dosing. So she's taking the same dose of a biased with progesterone oral at night. So biased cream, oral progesterone. And this one you can see, and like I said, she is petite. When you're fair, female, and petite, it's a lot easier to lose bone than when you're heavier. Or and like Dr. Mackey was talking about vegetarian, you want to be really specific about protein, which we can get into later. But when you're looking at this, there you're looking at the biggest number is the T-score. So the T-score is comparing your bone density to that of a healthy 30-year-old female. So looking at her, she's 55 years old. Her T score is a negative 2.1. Now, when you're looking at a T score, you want to think of that as loss of bone. So zero is no loss of bone. If you have a positive T score, holy moly, that's pretty amazing, which we'll look at it on another case. But if zero is no bone loss and zero to negative 0.9 is considered normal. So, hey, if you're zero to negative 0.9, that's normal bone loss. Now, once you get to negative 1.0, that's considered osteopenia. Now, osteopenia land is huge and it's pretty broad. So, osteopenia would be negative 1.0 to negative 2.4. That's a pretty big spectrum there. So, it's important to look at those numbers when someone's in osteopenia. Now, osteoporosis, now that's when you're like, okay, we got to do something and we got to do something pretty quickly, is when they hit negative 2.5 and beyond. And when I say beyond, that would be more negative because I've seen some DEXA scans where they accidentally don't put in that little minus number or it's really tiny and you can't read it. So it's make sure you look at that. So if it's negative 2.5 and beyond, negative 3, negative 2.6, negative, I've seen negative 4s, that's osteoporosis. So you can see with this person here, her T score is overall lumbar spine is a minus 2.1, which puts her in osteopenia. And then if you look at the left femur and the right femur, you can see that her T score for the left is a negative 2.9. There's osteoporosis in that left femur, and then there's osteoporosis in that right femur at negative 3.1.
Yeah, so at this point, this was 4 years ago. So she was 55, already showing osteoporosis in both hips. So not not necessarily a great situation. Now, why is that important? Okay, she's able-bodied. She's still functioning fine. 55. In this day and age, a 55 is not a senior citizen like it was when we were young. 55. In the 70s, when you and I were children, you were considered quite a bit different now. However, those numbers I think are going to make a big difference, by the time someone's 65, 70, 75, 80, those numbers, the risk of fracture, of course, is going to continue to go up. So making sure that, in another 20 years, this doesn't become more of an issue.
So, like I said, the T score I feel is like the most important when you're looking at that. And you're really looking at bone quantity, how much bone is there. So, now one thing is, with this person here is, okay, we got some osteopenia, we got some osteoporosis in the femurs, is we do not want to lose any more bone because she's only 55. I mean, like you said, that's young. And at the same time, if we could build that, now in somebody that's really like this person here, wants that bone, doesn't want to lose any more bone, wants to build it. So that's a really nice person to work with because they are going to do, they're going to do the work,
They're
which
motivated,
it takes work to build bone. One thing is, of course, you want to do an anti-inflammatory lifestyle. So, no smoking, don't drink soda, don't do a lot of sugar, don't do a lot of, acidic foods, but then you want to increase up that protein like Dr. Mackey was talking about. And then for this gal, because she is, about 120 pounds, she's little, is doing the weight bearing exercise. That was probably the biggest thing. And then keeping her on her HRT. Now, because she was on static dosing, you have to be careful about not doing too much estrogen because then that could cause the lining of the uterus to get thick, which later down the road, that she actually did have a little spotting and we had to adjust her hormones. That was years down the road. So you have to be very careful when you're doing that static dosing. But for her, it was really about the weight bearing exercise. I mean, getting a weighted vest, doing yoga every day, building that muscle and increasing up that protein. And now what'll be interesting is we've got, because this is 2021, we've got some other reports we could show you on this as
Okay,
well.
so this is 2021. Now the next one is from 2023, so 2 years later, same person.
And we'll go over the Z scores and all that a little bit later.
Okay, so there's the impression. We can kind of blow past this one. There's the FRAX assessment. That's
Do you want to go into that?
why don't we go through the next numbers and
Okay.
then we'll come back to the FRAX assessment, because in her case, the FRAX assessment actually, because she's already in osteoporosis, the FRAX assessment, which is really, as it says here, the 10-year
Yeah,
probability.
the FRAX assessment can be a little bit fake frack, is what I call it.
The fake FRAX.
So we'll definitely dive into that. But right
Okay.
now I think the T scores are like That's the number one thing you want to look at
Yeah.
on your
So
DEXA.
now this is the same person, 57 years old. So this is 2 years later from the last one, vegetarian on HRT. Now what do we see on this one?
So you actually see some improvement here. So this is 2 years later that, I'm working hard, and I know it seems small, but any small improvement is huge when it comes to building bone. So you can see her T score is at 1.7 for the lumbar spine. So what was that before? Negative
I
1.9.
should have put the before and after or side by
I
side
just remember it.
so we can remember. So over here, so back it up a little bit, right? So 2.1, a negative 2.1 down to a minus 1.7. That's
That is huge.
a considerable difference. That is, usually you're not going to expect something like that because that changed quite a bit for that number to improve like that.
That is actually a lot. And then you can see that left and that right femoral, she still is in osteoporosis, but it's a lot better. That right side is better, that left side is better. So you can see some improvement. Like I said, it was 2 years. That seems like a long time, but to see this kind of improvement, positive, she's not on any kind of, bisphosphonates or medication. This is just with, doing her lifestyle, her supplementation, and her HRT that she's actually had some improvement here.
And again, the goal of treatment sometimes or the goal of management is just to make sure it stays where it is. It doesn't get actually worse. And hers actually, all three scores actually got better. So,
Yeah, we were actually really happy with where this was. She has a team of doctors. Everybody was actually pretty happy with this, that it, for her and her size, that it stayed exactly where it is. So our goal was like, hey, oh my, or actually improve. Then, it was like, that's a bonus. I just wanted to stay where it was. So she went from 55 to 57, and then we did it again. So now she's 59. So we did that again. So we'll go
So
down to
that's
this
the
one.
impression. There's a
We'll come
frac
back to
assessment
that.
again. We'll come back. Okay, so same patient again,
Yep,
59 years old.
exactly.
This was done in this year, September 2025. So this is brand new data. And oops, froze up there for a second. Here we go. So there's the technique. Here's the findings there.
So then there's the, there is a little room for error, but it is good to kind of, this is great objective data to look at. So you can see in her lumbar spine again, it improved from a negative 1.7 to a negative 1.5. Like that's pretty amazing. And then you can see her left femoral neck, the right femoral neck. So looking at the hips, that we're still staying pretty consistent. The right one did seem like it decreased a tiny, tiny bit, like I said, point tenth of a decimal. I mean, not a lot, but at least, if anything, she's maintaining. So this is
You know,
moved
still
from
better than,
55 to
it was still
59.
better in her than her 2021, which was at 3.1
Oh,
or
absolutely.
a minus 3.1. So it's still better than where it was. You know, so she still overall has had some improvement
So
there.
this is, really good to monitor that. So getting that DEXA scan for her every 2 years will help us follow along that when she is 75, that she's at least maintaining the bone density rather than losing it, because that's the goal, is to maintain it. Now, there are exceptions for people to do medication. Absolutely. Medication is not the enemy. Medication can save your life, but that's the highest intervention. And it also is part of the patient treatment plan on what they feel comfortable with. Like this person does not want to do medications. Understandably, everybody is their own advocate. They, we have free will. So that's where we've been doing this naturally. And she is working really hard. But at the same time, is when you're working on your bones and your lifestyle, your whole life is going to get better. Your muscles are stronger. Your body feels better. Your ligaments feel better. You sleep better.
You're
So,
preserving your brain function, all those things are collectively the work that it takes to build bone, because you gotta, in order to build bone in your 50s, to build muscle in your 50s, in some ways those two things are equally as hard to do. It's hard to build muscle, it's hard to build bone, but whatever it takes to build the muscle is what it's going to take to actually build the bone. It's a simple idea, weight-bearing exercise of some sort, but not necessarily easy. So you definitely have to put in some effort there. But it's really nice to see these kinds of, both for the practitioner, right? You'd love to see these kinds of things to change, because from training, you know how hard it is for those numbers to actually improve. Medications, the conventional medications don't really do a great job of that. They might just keep the numbers steady, but they don't actually improve, even though that's sort of what's implied sometimes, that you go on a osteoporosis medication, your bone density is going to actually get better, and that's not really the case.
Not necessarily. Those medications do try to preserve the quantity of bone, not necessarily the quality of bone. And what it does is it inhibits the osteoclasts, which break down bone. So by inhibiting osteoclasts, then you're not going to break down bone as quickly. So
Yeah.
that's cannot, take it and then you're done. It's like you still take that and you still do the work, right?
Yeah,
You
right.
still do the work.
Yeah.
And it, and
Well,
I
at that point, really, is it the medication doing anything, or is it the work you're doing to build that bone back? Because like you said, just so you mentioned osteoclasts, so you can explain what osteoclasts are.
So osteoclasts are, they live in the spongy bone of basically your trabecular bone. So you have the cortical bone outside,
But the hard
the
stuff.
hard stuff. And then you have the inside spongy metabolic, active. That's where the osteoclasts, which break down bone. And then you have osteoblasts that build up bone. And it's all about remodeling. It's just like if I'm going for a run and then my osteoclast will break down a little bone to rebuild that to make it stronger. So
Yeah.
it's a process that works. It's a beautiful process that works together. And you really don't want to mess with it unless you have to. Like
Right.
there's huge genetics with osteoporosis or maybe their T scores are going downhill really fast. I mean, there are some interventions that you want to do. But like you said, the medications really are intended to inhibit the breakdown of bone, not necessarily the building of bone, which we could always get into the hormones too, like estrogen and progesterone actually inhibit osteoclasts and promote osteoblasts. That's why when we go into menopause and we lose our hormones, we can be more prone for bone density loss. But at the same time, I feel like the weight-bearing exercise, the diet, and the lifestyle is just as important, if not more important. It's all collectively together.
Yeah, sure. And even from a HRT perspective, even this is where we've emphasized testosterone for women sometimes too, from a muscle building perspective, right? Because for both men and women, it's equally hard when you're in your 50s and 60s to build muscle. Even your 40s, it's really hard to build muscle. The more muscle you have proportionally, the better your bones are going to be. Because what it takes to build the muscle, like I said a second ago, it's going to have that same kind of an impact on your bones. Now, one thing that I do know that women need to be sort of careful with, especially, and we've talked about this before with the GLP-1 medications and just dieting in general, if you're at a chronic caloric deficit all the time, you cannot build muscle that way, right? If you're always under eating, and what a lot of women we've seen over the years, they under eat and over exercise. If you're always at that caloric deficit, that's going to be hard on your muscles to maintain them. Your body's going to start to catabolize your muscle, and at the same time, it's also going to potentially have the same impact on bone density as well. So even though you might be putting in a lot of effort, you might actually be, from an exercise perspective, if you're not bringing in adequate calories and the right kind of calories, you could actually be putting yourself even at more risk, or almost like an accelerator risk because of the increase of activity. Right. So caloric intake, we've been doing this a long time, and I've seen, collectively over the years that women tend to want to eat less all the time. And I think when it comes to these types of situations, making sure the quote unquote macros, right, how those the proteins, the fats, the carbs, how those are sort of broken down actually become really important.
And just because we're kind of on that tangent a little bit, so we had mentioned protein, and I do feel like protein's important. I also feel like, good carbohydrates are important too. And
Sure.
I know that
Yeah.
they've been a little bit maligned over the last maybe 15 years of high protein, low carb, high protein, low carb. And I wouldn't say low carb per se, but I do think the proper amount of carbohydrates, like having it more fibrous,
Yeah.
whole foods in terms of the carbohydrates do seem to help. Just on a side note, because we do the hormones, is the thyroid. So when women go really low carb, I'll notice their thyroid will take a dive. And I think that could be whether it's low carb, also low caloric intake can have that issue
Yeah,
as
either
well.
one, whether you're too low carb, meaning, but usually the mistake that almost everybody makes when they go low carb, not even keto, but just low carb, is that when you're cutting out carbs in general, you're also lowering your calories. And that's sort of like if someone is trying to do keto, that's one of the things. They lose 20 and gain back 30. because your calories are so low for a period of time, a few months, a few weeks, and then eventually your appetite starts to go up. And then you end up overeating once you add in those carbs back again, because your brain has this roughly about a 90-day window before it wants to sort of refeed itself. So the big mistake when people are removing an entire food group or a macronutrient, the carbohydrates, usually with a ketogenic diet done in a balanced fashion, you have to increase your fat. And collectively, now granted, we're not talking about keto right now, just using it as an example. Because a keto diet is not really intended to be a high protein diet. It's meant to be moderate protein, high fat, low carb, which honestly, there's been a lot of talk over the years about keto from a therapeutic perspective, on how beneficial it can be. I don't know, in a situation like this, keto would not be the right idea, right? And she's a vegetarian anyway, so even more fundamentally different. But the point is, just about being clear about where those macros are, where the calories are. You said she's kind of like your size, so about 120 pounds ish.
She's petite, and being a vegetarian, I wasn't going to say, hey, go eat a steak. I mean, that's just maybe even philosophically not good. But we did end up doing a lot of plant-based protein, and she did, and some fish, added in some fish. She didn't do eggs, just didn't like them.
Personally, I think that a lacto-ovo-pesco vegetarian, so fish, dairy, and eggs can be a very, very good diet,
And we did, you're
just in
right.
general.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but we did end up adding in like feta and yogurt. So we did, and cottage cheese, which is a great source of protein. So
Absolutely.
actually, we did end up doing that. It was just more the animal protein she
Yeah,
wasn't
sure.
into, and that was fine.
Eggs or no eggs?
No eggs, no eggs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's one where I would sort of, encourage, but the other ones are perfectly fine, right? So there are at least some actually really good, highly absorbable animal sources of protein there. So she's not completely, that's where you get into that argument, vegan versus vegetarian versus non. You strip all those protein sources away, and it could potentially make a situation like that. You have to be very diligent on where those macros come from in situations like that. So that's good. I think adding those things in, I think, is the perfect. You don't If you're a vegetarian, of course you're not going to go eat a steak,
Yeah,
right? Of
I would
course you're
say
not going to
no.
convince someone to do that, and there's no reason to do that. I think that's why a lacto meaning dairy, ovo meaning egg, and pesco meaning fish, that type of a vegetarian, I think, is an amazing diet.
And then a lot of beans, also did a lot of nuts. A lot of nuts have magnesium, and you can get different, which we can always go over later a little bit about the
Almonds have lots of
nutrients.
calcium in there.
Yeah, the calcium, the nutrients that you can do for bone density, which is, great. So we can talk about that. But let's do the fracs. Let's do that fracs. Just real quick, because really the T score is the most important. You're looking at the fr or you're looking at what's considered, actually, let's go up to the Z score. So
Up
you have
to
it.
the top.
Yeah, so you have a T score, which is comparing your bone density to that of a healthy 30-year-old female, but a Z score is comparing you to your peers.
Okay, so here's the first one.
It's not something that you need to really jump into when you're looking at the Z score, because it's comparing, like, for example, in 2021, she's 55 years old. It's comparing other women of her age on her bone density compared to them. And then, of course, the reason you do a Z score is if somebody has a really high Z score, which means my Z score is high, that means I have a lot more bone density loss compared to another female just like me, same age. Why is that? And that can help rule out more like genetic factors, or where you want to check out where it's not really lifestyle, it's something else, like maybe
Maybe
Crohn's
like a
disease.
parathyroid problem or
Yeah,
something.
Crohn's issue, yeah, parathyroid, ulcerative colitis, some kind of
So
inflammatory flat bowel.
Crohn's disease would be a malabsorption problem, right? They're not able to absorb those nutrients because of the damage to the digestive tract.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be maybe why I would have less bone density compared to somebody of my same, age and whatnot. Also, too, if I'm taking certain medications, if people have taken steroids for a
Corticosteroids, yeah,
number of
prednisone for
years,
sure, yeah.
that can also cause that bone density loss. So a Z score really is looking more at why is your bone density less than someone of the same age. So usually you look at that and say, oh, it's great. if she's having, osteoporosis, osteopenia, it's not because of something like, some kind of condition or underlying condition or medication. It really is looking at what we can do.
So what would that Z score here, right there, we see a minus 1.3. So what number would you expect to see this one right here? What would you expect to see if there is a problem?
Quite a bit higher because it's interesting, like well over, the twos. Because if we go down a little bit, like you can see, yeah, well over, yeah, wait, let's see, a little bit farther down, you can see her score, her Z score got better.
Yeah, this one right
See,
here.
yeah, so she's even better compared to her
0.8, yeah.
peers, which is amazing to see that. So that's what you're looking at with the Z score, and then the FRAX assessment.
So how do you know there the point is the negative point 0.8? How do you know that she's better
Oh.
than her peers?
Because last time it was a negative 1.7, and then
Oh,
there was
right.
a negative 2.1 in there, which went to a negative 1.7. So that's just comparing yourself to your peers. But that FRAX one is just like you were saying, is looking at that percentage of probability of fracture.
Sure. Okay, you want to go to the
Yeah,
fraction?
let's do it.
And now the frax, I think, is here we go. Frax is important because maybe not when you're in your 50s, but when you're in your 70s, you happen to, let's say your balance is fine, but you have an accident, you fall, you trip, you break your hip. The likelihood of mortality or death within 1 year goes up like 25%. I don't know the exact number. I think it's like 25% chance of death from breaking your hip when you're, just in general. Right. So breaking a hip, it's not about the, and that, what do they say like in hospitals? You break your hip and you die of pneumonia or something crazy like that. So it's not about the hip fracture itself. It's about the complications that come from the hip fracture, pulmonary embolisms, a bunch of different things can happen. So, the risk of the fracture, maybe, maybe not now, but in 20 years, you stumble, trip on the sidewalk, you trip on a stair, you just an accident you didn't intend to happen. Maybe you're in good physical condition, but now, you have a little spill or something, and now you break your hip, and that could be catastrophic for, for the, depending on the situation.
No, exactly. That's why, in some respects, that FRAX is important to look at. But also, like I said, a fake FRAX is, it can be really scary. And it can be falsely scary. So to do a FRAX assessment, they need to take a lot of intake from you. They need your age. They need how much you weigh. How tall are you? Are you a smoker? Are you on corticosteroids? Have you had a history of a fracture before? They actually will go through a number of things to come up with an equation to tell you what your, and then they take in your Z or your T score to take in what would equal your FRAX assessment. So on a FRAX assessment, they say, if you have a percentage, an overall percentage, as it says here, major osteoporotic fracture of over 20%, that's serious. That's where you say that's pretty serious. And then the hip fracture, if it's over 3%, is where you want to get a little bit, like you want to really focus in on that, because hip fractures, like you said, is as we get older, is could be devastating. So you can see here with this person that their hip fracture is at 2.8%. And then if you go down to the very last one, it's higher. It's at the 3%. But what's interesting about this one, so you can see, let's see, that was,
Here
here
we
we go,
go. Here we go.
hip fracture, 3.4%. You might say, oh my gosh, you're at risk for a hip fracture. This could be serious. So it is something not to overlook. So we want to look at this. But when you look back, oh, sorry, you were going to say
Yeah,
something?
so so her bone density actually improved. So is this based on age then? Because she's gotten older is why her hip fracture percentage went up.
That's what I'm wondering. On her assessment, what did they put down on that assessment that would come up with 3.4%? And it does look like they, as it says on here, it's based on her right bone mineral density. So her right hip does have a little bit less bone density compared to the left. So if they had did this equation with the left, that hip fracture percentage probably would have been less.
Interesting.
So it was done on the right side, which I think she were all different. She had had an injury, I think, years ago on that right side, which, of course, if you've had an injury or you had a car accident, maybe you had back issues, I've seen people that have had less bone density where they've had injuries. Like, for example, low back issues. If somebody had been in a car accident, had low back inflammation for years, oh, look, their spine is a little bit less dense than their hips, but that's because of that chronic inflammation. So we want to keep an eye on that. So I think it might have been just because of that, maybe for this, for this person doing that equation, they did it on the right side. If they did it on the left side, it'd be different. So instead of throwing her off into, oh, go take some medication right away, is, let's reevaluate this. She's still doing really good on her diet and lifestyle. She's doing great on her HRT. She's doing great on her supplementations because we did a whole supplements can be a part-time job, but she's got her whole supplement routine that's going to help focusing on that bone density. That it, this can be, like I said, a little bit elusive. So take that Frax assessment kind of loosely. Like, for example, I had a patient that they did her Frax assessment, and it was a her it was very, in fact, the major parotid fracture was up there like 23%. And I'm
Oh,
like,
geez.
this is, doesn't make any sense. But when I looked over, I actually requested the report from the physician that ordered it and looked at her Frax, and they had some things in there that weren't right. It said that she had had a major fracture before in her
She
past.
didn't.
She never had a fracture, never broke a bone in her life. But because of that was in there, and then I think it had something with her weight or her height was off. It was there was a couple of things on there, so it made it look like that once it did the assessment, but it was just because the assessment was wrong.
Yeah. You know, from an insurance perspective, from a life insurance perspective, insurance premium perspective, that could be a really big deal. You show someone that has an increased risk for a major, major fracture, but they really don't. I don't know what those types of companies look at as far as assessing risk, but that can't be a good thing just because there's a lot of, there's a lot of emphasis pushed towards bone density and osteoporosis anyways. That'd probably be incriminating information, and it was just a bunch of mistakes.
Yeah. So it made her percentage look up. Now, granted, the DEXA scan itself with the T score did show, she was in osteopenia, not osteoporosis, osteopenia. So I said, this isn't accurate. So instead of doing it in 2 years, we're going to wait 1 year and we're going to do a little extra work just to make sure we get that T score
Yeah.
right on point.
And then make sure those other information is not on there, and then that frac score should just automatically come
Exactly.
down,
Yeah.
right? Okay. How did you catch it? Just because knowing what her T score was, and then the frac score was just so high, it just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. And then compared to the previous DEXA scan 2 years before, I'm like, why would the fracture go up so high when the T scores didn't change much? The Z scores didn't, that was fine. Why did it change? And then I think there was just a, just misintake on the fracs.
Right. Okay. So, should we move on to the next
Oh
one?
yeah, let's go to the next one. Make sure I got some of my notes there. Yeah.
Okay. So this is the next one.
So this is another vegetarian, so 56 years old, and this is the DEXA scan that she had had in 2019, and it was great. I mean, look at her T score of her lumbar spine is actually positive. I had to relook at that and like put on my like really look at that. So I'm like, there is no little negative there because it's not that comp. Once you hit 50, you're gonna lose a little bone. It's inevitable. But hers was actually really great. Positive for the lumbar spine. Both her, they just did the left femoral neck and hip. Both were positive, which was fantastic. And
So most women are going to have a negative number, and all three of her numbers are all
not
positive.
most, you mean not most, but I mean, it is
Even
common.
in their 50s, really?
Even in their 50s, there are, it is common to be normal or maybe like, like I said, you are going to lose some bone, especially if you're more of a petite, fair female. But you're not, I mean, this was just a spectacular DEXA scan to see. But there are a lot of women that do have good bone density. It just, and then
Well, I know there's a lot that do, but are we talking 80-20?
see, that's the
80%
thing.
that don't have negative scores, 20% do?
I would say probably like that, just in my experience. I can't say overall, but there are more that have a little negative, maybe not quite into osteopenia, or maybe just right in the baby early parts of osteopenia, which is okay as long as we maintain that. But I would say more women have lost bone than not in their 50s. But this is why these two cases are so interesting to me, is they both are vegetarian. They both walk every day, both do yoga, very healthy lifestyles. Is, and I don't think it has to do with just weight, because I will say that this person here is 5 foot 5, 160 pounds, where the other person was smaller, I think like 5'2", 120 pounds. But is it just weight that's going to make that issue. I mean, I do think, hey, more weight means more body weight on the ground, which means stronger bones. That's why astronauts can get osteoporosis because there's no gravity, Gravity, doing swimming and cycling is great, but it's not going to be as great for your bones as hiking and walking because of that body weight on the ground. But I think there's still other factors in there.
And the other patient is on HRT. This one is not on HRT.
She just wasn't for her. And that's okay. That's a personal choice whether you
Sure,
want to
of
go on
course.
hormone replacement therapy or not. And she's doing great, never had any symptoms. You can see her bone density is amazing.
So you'd almost think, nowadays there's this sentiment that you need the hormones to maintain your bones, but she's an example that you really don't. That you can still have an amazing bone density, score without having any hormones at all, because we hear it all the time. Got to protect my brain, my bones, and my heart. I understand that. You and I do hormones, and certainly we, that's our bias as well. But that's why this is very interesting. They're both vegetarians, so from a dietary perspective, they're similar. Age-wise, they're very similar. But that one variable, and it sounds like even exercise-wise, they're pretty similar. So you'd almost expect those two to be the opposite. I find that fascinating. I've seen a few that are in the positives, usually maybe one of the three, like usually the lumbar spine is positive and the other two might be in the negatives. But have you seen quite a few that are all positive like that? Women in her mid-50s?
Not like this. I mean, that's where I think there's, genetics comes into play. And also, which, this is looking backwards, is, what you're born, you grow up is really, I almost feel like women in their 20s and 30s need to be taught thinking about their bone density. Because
Absolutely,
you have so much bone density at one point. Our goal, it's kind of like a savings account. Let's hold on to the money. Let's hold on to it, not let it go. And then once it's almost gone or it's halfway there, and then it's like, okay, now we got to build it back up. That's where I kind of feel like bone density really starts with how much bone do I have, like as a teenager and in my 20s and 30s.
And well, we talked about this before too. It's like you don't really even acknowledge or even talk to women about their bone density until they're in menopause, okay? Or they're in their mid to late 40s. It doesn't even really become part of the conversation. And now we've even said before too, I think bone density should be done when you're 25, right? Or even at, 15, 25, 35, 45, just do them. Maybe you don't have to do them every year when they're that young, but at least establish a baseline. Right, to make sure that from the ages of 15 to 25, there's not a considerable amount of bone loss going on there, that those numbers should all be positive, right? You would expect for a woman that young that those numbers should all be positive like this. So that way you can catch that much earlier if there is an issue. And now they could be sort of educated about, hey, these are some important things. Again, that over-exercising, under-eating thing becomes a big issue. And you're just going to exacerbate something like that. And then by the time now you're in your, late 40s, early 50s, you could really have a problem if you weren't aware of it ahead of time. Trying to fix that when you're 50, or 55,
That's what we're all trying to do,
that's really,
right? That's what we're working with.
that's really difficult. And I don't think that that's really good logic. I think it's just sort of, insurance driven care, that, it should be looked at a lot earlier than it is. I mean, what do they say? An ounce of cure, a pound of cure is worth an ounce of prevention or something like that, right? Looking at that situation a lot earlier would give some of that awareness and, and then maybe behaviors and lifestyle and different things would be modified as a result. But yeah, I mean, that's really incredible. So now this was for, so what, 6 years ago, a little over 6 years
Yep,
ago.
this was, and that's funny you were saying that about insurance because I was like, okay, we'll do your DEXA scan in 2 years. That's what I do with everybody. We do it every 2 years. And when it came 2 years came around, her insurance company said, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to pay for it. And we're going to, because her bone density was so great that we'll pay for it in 5 years, that they'll cover it every 5 years. So we ended up doing it in 2024, which is the next one.
I do think that DEXA scans these days are pretty inexpensive.
Yeah,
I
I
think
think
you
they're
get
like
them
100
for,
bucks or
a couple
something.
hundred bucks. I mean, just if you're in a situation you just want to know, just there's plenty of walk-in clinics you can just walk in and they'll just do a bone density. Now, what they should do on these, which they don't, they should include lean body mass on this at the same time as they're doing it. It's the same machine where they can look at your muscle and your bone. I don't know why they don't include that into a DEXA scan. They just look at the bone when they should be adding in the lean body mass at the same time, because you'd also want to see, for the same exact reason, how a woman's bone is deteriorating. You'd want to see how much lean muscle mass they're losing, year by year by year, almost exactly, because excuse me, because both of those are correlated with each other. If you're losing muscle, you're losing bone. If you're losing bone, you're losing muscle. Why wouldn't those be done sort of simultaneously? The machines are exactly the same. When you go in to get a lean body mass, they're going to look at your body fat. They can also check your bones, and they can check your muscle sort of at the same time. All three of those things should be on one of these reports, and I'm not really sure why they're not. Anyways, all right. So this is now 2024, so 5 years later, and now she was 61 at the time.
Yeah, so here we are. The T score is negative 0.1. That's still basically zero. But she has lost a little bit, but not even really anything to negligible, not anything to really even
So
think
we're
about.
down here, right?
Yeah, she's
Oh,
still,
right down here.
and that left hip is still positive at 0.9. Now it does say, oh, it represents a 2.8% decrease since the prior study in 2019. But really, when you're looking at that, that's pretty
Yeah,
amazing.
when you go from
Yeah.
positive to still positive,
Yeah.
that's really not it's a decrease, but
5 years. Yep.
at a 61-year-old woman, vegetarian, no hormones, and she still has a positive positive bone density in her femoral neck. Now, that at that age, right, even at the 56, that's not very common. At 61, this is even less. Out of 100 women, how many women are going to have a number like that?
It's
Probably two.
pretty amazing. I mean, she was concerned because it did say, oh, there's a 3% decrease in my spine. I'm like, but your spine is 0.4, it's still zero. But at the same time, I said, because a lot of, she wants to be an A student. And I'm like, oh, this has no grading on here. There's no grade.
She's already an A
No, it
student.
isn't. Whether you have, wherever you're at, there's no grades when it comes to this. It's just, where am I and where do I want to be? So I said, well, let's continue with what we're doing and maybe, adding in a little things to help with bone density, because I think her dad's like over 100 or something. Like, he's just amazing. So she's got longevity, because I'm like, you're gonna be around for a long time. So we'll start on working on your bones. What you're doing already is great. And but we're not gonna do hormones. Like I said, that wasn't her thing, and that's okay. And as a vegetarian, we were working on a lot of the protein, getting in the protein, getting in the fiber. She's doing awesome. But it's kind of interesting to see these two cases. Is I don't think, like I said, I don't think it has really to do with the, that she weighs more than the other one. There's
But
a little bit, yeah.
body
There's
weight does play a
some
role
weight,
there.
yeah. That's
Certainly, if you have a BMI, no, BMI is not very good, but BMI under 20, right? So, a petite female, right? You're 100 pounds, you're 105 pounds, you're automatically at risk because you don't have enough gravity on on planet Earth.
That's where that's where we do the work for it. So I do think you're right. That is your body weight on the ground, but I don't think that's the only thing. I think it's what bone density we have, our reserves, what we have when we're in our 20s and 30s that we want to try to maintain. And so here we are. It did drop a little bit. So, we're looking at that. I'm not concerned about it, but it's something that we're all aspiring to, because like I said, if you're working on your bone density, you're also working on your longevity and your health. You're still eating better, you're exercising, you're building muscle, you're staying flexible. That your life can't, I don't know what the wording is, but it can only get better.
Right, but I think a lot of, if you're just looking at this even as a practitioner, and you're just looking at this decrease in bone, you would come away with that as thinking like you failed, like, oh, 2.8% decrease, oh, that's so bad. But knowing what those numbers actually mean and put them into context, that doesn't mean anything. The fact that she's 61 and she still has positive bone density in her, so she could literally have that spill and have that fall, and her hip is going to be just fine, more than likely. Not that we want
Any
that to
bone will be
happen.
just fine.
My mom's 79, and she fell a few years ago, and through a common fracture spot, she broke her wrist. You fall. It was, She lives in Wisconsin and a little slippery, and she went to brace herself and broke her wrist. She still has a problem with it. She's had surgery on it twice, and she and it didn't heal right. Because my mom is literally 100 pounds. Literally, she's just there's not a lot of muscle tissue there and just bones. And her wrist is still causing her problems. She can't really use it anymore. because it doesn't, it didn't, you know, even though she had surgery on it a couple of times, it didn't really quite heal right. You know, I don't think this particular person here, I don't think is going to have any problems like
Ever.
that. Yeah, her bones are nice and sturdy, which is great for her. But honestly, you know, there's a lot of similarities between these two. But the HRT one, like I said earlier, you'd almost expect that to be, you know, on the you know, her to have the HRT. So HRT isn't really the end all be all when it comes to protecting your bones. There's a lot more to it. The HRT can be certainly helpful, especially if you're at risk. That's where it might come into play. If you're already at risk, now we can add in some hormones to really help that. But the other one, you know, she's already been on HRT and her numbers still don't look that great, but they've gotten better. So maybe, you know, maybe with the work that she's done in addition to the HRT, maybe that has done, you know, some synergy there to get her some better results.
Nope, absolutely. No, this is great.
Yeah. So anything else you want to add about this one?
Let's see, I
Or
wrote my little notes here. And no, this was great. I just wanted to kind of be able to help somebody see what a DEXA scan looks like so they can pull their own out and read it.
yeah. So there's an impression there. We've already talked about all
Oh,
that.
wait,
So.
hold, put that down a little. Let's see if there's anything I missed on there. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
great.
Yeah, she got a good one. All right. Hopefully that was helpful. If you have, I would imagine pretty much everyone is, you know, has it, at least our population that we communicate with, both patients, community, YouTube, podcast. You have your DEXA. Now you should have an idea of what you need to pay attention to. It really comes down to that T score. The Z score, it's important, but not really, you know, doesn't have as much personal, you know, that's more based on a population where that T score is really what it's all about.
Let me look at one thing. This is what kind of
Go up
freaked
or
her
down.
out down at that bottom.
Okay.
So the impression is pretty much what all doctors look at, but I mean, I love to read the data. So when she was looking at the impression, saying, oh, based upon the lowest T score of a minus 0.0, says the bone mineral density is normal. So that's what you want to read. That's the impression. But then they also put in some information below about, you know, if you have a hip fracture. She didn't realize, she thought they were talking about her on those recommendation
Yes.
things where it says low bone mass, osteopenia, T score between negative 1 and negative 2.5. She just kind of was looking at that, but then saw this major 10-year probability for 20% for major fracture. She says, is that me? And I said, no, that they're putting in this information just for doctors to understand the difference between you, which is negative 0.0, which is the lowest T score on her body, rather than comparing that to what a doctor should do if somebody had, you know, a minus
So it's
2.5 for
sort
T
of
score.
putting
It
it's
kind of
creating
freaked her out.
some confusion. But honestly, that's what all doctors read. They just read the
Yeah.
impression real fast and they just move on. So they could misconstrue that very easily. It's kind of put in a bad spot.
Yeah, exactly. So they're, you know, consider FDA approved medical therapy and excuse me, in postmenopausal women and men age 50 and older based on the following. I said, that's not you. But they just put that in there. But I know sometimes, you know, I think that's why she read that and got
Of
scared.
course, yeah. I mean, you wouldn't realize that that is meant that you would think under impression that this is the radiologist's recommendations. He's just copying and pasting and putting something in there, you know, just as a, you know, literally just as like a recommendation in general, but not about that particular
Exactly.
person.
Yeah.
That
So,
information under the impression should be about that patient and that patient only. You know, because I know on the other ones, I left some information out about World Health Organization and what, you know, some of the numbers mean that you've already went through. But you know, if you didn't understand what you were looking at, you know, even like this, you would sort of get confused, you know, and not understanding. But you know, her T score is fabulous. So good for you, good for her. That's great. She shouldn't have any worry about her bones moving forward. All right. So hopefully this was helpful. If you have any comments, write them down below. Message us in the community, and you know, this will be you know, probably one we'll continue to do down the road. Maybe on the next one, we will talk about more of the lifestyle, the dietary things, the nutrients that you can do, the things that are important to, you know, to achieve a really good bone density score.
Yep. And for our community members, I have a guide on your DEXA scan, how to read it, and also a lot, you know, nutrients and lifestyle for bone health. So that'll be in our resources.
Yeah. All right. Till next time, I'm Dr. Mackey.
I'm Dr. Valerie.
Take care. Bye-bye.